Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
I'm Alfie Bull, and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
Yo, welcome to Sheffield Live, and it's Friday the 11th of April. This day will never ever come again, so without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please keep this show to yourself. Introduction time. I've got a man called Sweet G.
Yes, well, go on, people.
Opposite me.
Yeah, we die here again.
You know, and, you know, we're missing kind of CV. I mean, last week, when a man said, asked me if I was all right, but maybe CV's kind of shying away from the same question what I was going to forward right in our chest. So, because I'm not there.
No, we have to allow him this week. We have to allow him this week.
Allow him what? I mean, nobody get no inches upon this show. You know that. That's the rules. That.
You're hard. You're hard, sir. You're hard.
I mean, I said that too. You're hard, you see?
You're hard, man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
I know last week we talked about the Grand National and stuff. And I still want to kind of dip into that kind of like basket, because this is a kind of sad little story, this one.
Go on.
Grand National runner, celebrity, Dee Allen, died, which is the horse.
Tumbled down in it a bit.
From a severe bacterial respiratory infection that developed after the race. A post-mortem examination has determined the facts. However, tests found that the horse's immune system was severely compromised after the, you know, the exhaustion of the race. 13-year-old finished at Aintree, having been pulled up after the final fence before collapsing on the track. Unfortunately, after initially showing signs of recovery, celebrity Allen's condition deteriorated significantly and died on Tuesday. A couple of days after the Grand National at Aintree. You know, I just wanted to get your take on that, G. I mean, you know, the animal rights campaigners was out in their numbers, as you can imagine.
This is why I said, did it fall first? Because I know the argument was always about the fences jumping too high and you're going around, whatever else.
Put the mic.
There's been so much controversy about the Grand National for the last time many years now, and I do things need to be changed, but a 13-year-old horse doing that trek still could be a bit too much, isn't it, really? I mean, there's lots of things you've got to look into now. You've got to take that into account, the age of the horse now, whatever else. That was brutal in a sense. I mean, and as I said, the heights of the fences and all that, but they haven't changed anything much around it, have they?
Yeah, just kind of like a few.
They've just brushed it one side
safety,
and carried on. But
measures, they've kind of brushed up that. But, you know, like you said, you know, horse 13-year-old, I think they must kind of maybe look at an age limit in the future.
You've got to think about that.
Kind of like entering that. And only 2 days after, you know. I mean, hear this note. I mean, the jockey, Michael Nolan, who's 35, got handed a 10-day ban by the British Horse Racing Authorities, aka BHA. He had to delete social media accounts after suffering abuse. I'm going to say that again. Michael Nolan deleted his social media accounts after suffering abuse in the wake of the horse's tragic death.
So the blaming the jockey. Warland, sorry, Don.
The horse had nothing left to give, you know, after kind of like being exhausted in the latter stages. The horse was seen in difficulties, second to the last fence, and the jockey had breached riding rules. You know, and I believe, I mean, a 10-day ban, I just think that's absolutely ridiculous. 10-day ban, you know. I think, and this is my opinion, and my opinion alone, that the owner, which is Alan Stinnett, I'm calling him out, and also the trainers, which is Philip Hobbs, and also Johnson White, I'm calling them out too. And I think that not only should they be included in a kind of sanction, but I think there should be kind of like some kind of serious levels here. I mean, 10-day ban, he'll get over that in no time at all. And what kind of message for me does that send out to the other people who abuse the horses? I mean, you know, there's, you know, people have been, you know, sanctioned for over whipping the horses and they get a 3-day ban or something like that. I mean, this horse, you know, tragically has lost their life. And a 10-day ban, for me, nah, that doesn't do anything for me, a 10-day ban.
Well, it's not going to do anything, in it? But so now, this, when he said he got, was being excessive with the horse now and stuff like that, is that the whipping kind of thing we're talking about now? He was pushing the horse to go. I mean, really, as a jockey, you should be able to tell if the horse is struggling. If it's actually struggling, where he could have pulled up and maybe saved that horse. So he's going to get grief for that, because he should know. But this 10-day ban business, yeah, he's back in. But it's, remember, you know, it's all to do with money. Bottom line, it's all to do with money. That jockey's a good jockey. He's going to make money. We give him a 10-day ban. It's no big deal on his part.
You know what
he's
I mean?
He's going to be back and they're going to make money. The trainer's going to make money. The owner's going to make money and we carry on.
Yeah,
and carry on. That's all it's about.
But I don't know who makes up them kind of rules, but, you know.
There is no rules, really, you know. Is there? I mean, and if you're not enforcing the rules, then there is no rules. You know what I mean? But really, for me, as a jockey riding a horse, and if you know that horse, because you're riding that horse to train that horse as well, you should be able to tell if there's something wrong with that horse when it's running. It's all right, you're whipping. If that horse not giving anything, there's no point whipping and pushing. It should be able to say, no, hold on, something wrong. And pull up. It's no big deal. You do the right thing, the horse could have been alive and carried on another day.
I mean, you know, a statement by the trainer said that he received the very best treatment by the veterinary team and was improving. However, he deteriorated significantly, you know, probably on Monday night, and could not be saved and passed on the Tuesday. You know, they go on to say, you know, talk about the horse, what a wonderful horse, and they'll miss him. You know what I mean? But who's going to miss kind of like... you know, Michael Nolan and the 10-day ban, you know. The animal rights charity which is RSPCA, posted on X. We wait for the British Horse Racing Authority to investigate into the death of the horse. So I don't think it would have been done for them, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I think handing that out, I mean, you know, I'll have to go over it again, but, you know, for me, the maximum prison sentence for cruelty for animals is 5 years. I think they should have been looking at this. Additionally, offenders face fines to be banned from owning animals. You know, there's also penalties, which, you know, Nolan got a 10-day ban. This was increased previously to a maximum of 6 months imprisonment. You know what I mean? So, you know, it just doesn't seem right, because these, you know, what I've just read out are the maximum penalties. And you know, it's not the first time I've said it this evening, but I keep saying it, you know, 10 days. That's all, you know what I mean? And there must be something that if a rider actually finishes the Grand National, they must be collecting something as well, because, you know, then why would he exert the horse? What's so important for him to finish that kind of like race?
But my question is straight away, is you said at the beginning that horse was dehydrated. How'd the horse end up dehydrated?
No, I didn't say the horse was dehydrated.
That's what you said.
It was kind of like, really was kind of like pushing the horse to the limits. You know, it was like the second to last hurdle, what they noticed, you know, that the horse was kind of like virtually collapsing. The horse did collapse, was collapsing on the track. You know what I mean?
This is why I said he should have noticed something with that horse before. He's a jockey. He's ridden that horse before. He should know that horse. And he should have known that there was something wrong with the horse. But this is the thing now, you see. 10-day ban. What are the RSPCA going to do about it? And for me as well, with the RSPCA, it's kind of hit and miss political stuff with them as well. Because I don't agree with some of the things they say. And I don't agree with how they enforce some of the laws. But this, yes, it needs to be looked at still, because it was there. Yeah, it needs to be looked at.
I mean, you were an animal kind of like owner yourself, weren't you?
Yeah,
I
mean, my two pussy yard them still right this, you know, and I can tell when there's something wrong with them from them just walk past me. Mm. You know what I mean? When there's something wrong with my dog, I knew just by the way, it's because I knew the dog. We take him out every day. I live with him, so if we were going out somewhere and he's hobbling behind me or he's looking at me a certain way, I know there's something wrong with him. So rid of the ding ding, phone up the vets, or we'll come to Summerfield's vet, let them sort him out. So to me, there's no excuse really. You should know. So everybody have to play a part, but especially the jockey. 10 days is nothing.
Yeah, because
10 days is nothing.
A statement from a guy from Cheltenham Gold Cup winning jockey Andrew Thornton was a BBC pundit for the Grand National race. He felt that Nolan did everything in his powers to look after the horse. Well, I mean, how can the jockey do everything in his powers if kind of like the horse was kind of like just about, you know, collapsing? You know
and
what I mean?
Still pushing him.
And
still
pushing the
him.
Horse. I don't see why or how a jockey can be doing all he can. I mean, now, if he took the horse to one side and, you know, just kind of took his time, just kind of like come out of the race altogether, then fair enough, you could say, yeah,
he's,
you know,
done everything then.
That guy's
yes.
thought about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, then afterwards he could come out with a statement to say, well, the horse was tiring. I didn't think that there was any need pushing it. The race had been kind of won, you know, by somebody else, and the horse did, you know, we did all what we can, and they retired the horse.
Yes.
How many times have we seen, and I'm not a big kind of like horse racing fan, but, you know, certain times, certain periods in races, horses just
that.
Get retired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The jockeys just think, you know, they've made an on-board assessment, and they've thought, do you know what? This ain't working today. You know what I mean? There's another day. And if he'd have done that, who knows what could happen.
He'd have been praised for it.
Yeah, definitely.
He wouldn't have got abused online. He wouldn't have had to shut his accounts and stuff like that. People would have praised him for it. This is what I'm saying. He should have realised riding that horse that there was something wrong with the horse. The horse isn't just getting tired, but when somebody's tired and they can't give anymore, him should have pulled it up. I don't know where he was in the race, if he had a chance of winning it. And obviously, if he won it, he's going to get bonus. But you know what I mean? The horse gone now, so...
You know? Yeah. I saw it go sometime.
I saw it go.
You know?
But obviously, nothing more is going to come out of it, really, is it?
Yeah.
Like I said, it's all to do with money.
Yeah, probably don't think so at this kind of stage anyway, really. Nah. You know? But yeah, from one sport, jumping on to another. And this time, in this sport, they use a cue. And it's about... The Rocket Ronnie, you know, Ronnie O'Sullivan, 7-time winner, will give himself as much time as possible to decide whether he's going to compete at the World Snooker Championships in Sheffield. Sullivan, 49, has been ever present at the Crucible since turning pro back in 92, and... you know, it would be going for a record 8th world title in the modern era. However, he's not played on the World Snooker Tour since, January, early this year, when he withdrew from the Championship League. He was also frustrated with his game that he snapped his cue, you know, after losing 4 of his 5 matches, Sullivan. Pulled out of the Masters at the Alexandra Palace on medical grounds, missed also the German Masters in Berlin and apologised to fans, you know, that he didn't take part in that. Also withdrew from the World Grand Prix in Hong Kong in March, increasing speculation he may not return to action in Sheffield, where he is one of the seeds. What do you make of that, Ronnie O'Sullivan?
Ronnie's got issues, and we know he's always had a few little issues to get through and stuff like that. But any time he turns up at the Crucible for the tournament and stuff, he's always on fire. To be honest, unless Ronnie retires, it's not the same without him in it. You know what I mean? But he's got things I think he does need to sort out, because that doesn't sound like Ronnie O'Sullivan at all, missing certain games. But he has had issues in the back, in the back part, hasn't he?
Yeah. He might have issues, yes.
Here we go.
And he might have to sort them out.
All right.
CV Wallace.
CV, I laugh right now, man.
I bet CV's just skanking to this right now, you know. You can just see him, you know. Put on him crampy and all that kind of stuff.
He wasn't really into them kind of thing, was it? That was me and you that kind
of... Don't make him kid you. Don't make CV kid you, me, I tell
Maybe
you.
When he was in his yard and stuff, yeah, he might be bopping, but...
Don't let this youth kid you, me, I tell you that.
Remember them days, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So, poor Ronnie, under too much pressure. You know?
I think that's what it is with Ronnie. He's got issues, certain things. He's one of them players, isn't he? A bit like, when did name again now? The Irish player there, Hurricane. But when he was on form, he was on form. You know what I mean? I saw something the other day as well, that Jimmy White. Is Jimmy White in the tournament? Because he's won some tournament to come
Jimmy
into this.
White?
Yeah.
Nah,
man. I swear, I saw something the other day where they said he's won some tournament to come into this.
Is it? Must be some kind of veteran business.
Unless it's some misprint. Well, yeah.
You know?
He might have come out of retirement because in Brooklyn.
Because they have the Masters, don't they? You know what I mean? For them kind of smaddy there. You know what I mean? But I've not heard kind of like otherwise. But, you know, going back to Rocket Ronnie, yeah, he says that, you know, not sure. Going to give himself time and think about the decision. I mean, he could be missing out on 500K, you know? I think that's what the winner gets anyway. And, you know, he's not committed himself whether to compete at the Crucible or not. And that starts, I believe, the 19th of April until concluding the 5th of May. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you said, Ronnie's got his issues. He's not alone. But, you know, it could be pressure of competing. His stresses could be you know, of thinking about, you know, what he's done in his career, things kind of building up for him, leading to depression, anxiety, and of course,
he had all them things.
Burnout too. You know what I mean? High expectations of himself to deliver the goods, you know, and afraid of public scrutiny. You know, throughout social media, substance abuse could lead to that. You know what I mean? Whether that's alcohol or, you know, other substances. A lack of support, which could be a big thing. I mean, I'm not sure how much lack of support, or how much support, I should say, what the snooker board actually put in. I know, like, say, you know, if footballers are suffering and going through mental health, there's support networks there. I'd like to think that it's exactly the same in snooker also as well.
Right, as I was saying about Jimmy White, I read a little statement here. Come in, what's on my seat? He says, yes, Jimmy White is continuing his snooker career and is actively competing in the World Championship snooker qualifying events. He is currently attempting to qualify for the main draw of the World Championship and recently won his opening qualifying match. He is determined to play until he is 65 and hopes to win another tournament before retiring.
Determined to play until he's 65? Yeah.
White's recent victory is a marathon qualifying match against Ukraine. Anton Kozovic or something has kept his hopes of reaching the World Championship alive. This win is particularly significant as it has been a while since he's reached the main draw, with the last appearance during 2006.
Mm.
Mm. You know, somebody said something, so yeah, Jimmy did the whirlwind.
He's trying to qualify for the finals, really.
To get into into or whatever else. So
still in the qualifying stages, you know what I mean?
So but I'd like to see him there. I'd like to see him there.
Mm. I think it's that just for his name just to be in there, really. I couldn't really see him doing anything in that. You know,
I think the man broke, and he look more money while he's come back, and that's the way he can make money, you know, so fair play.
For whatever reason it is, do you know what I mean?
I wish him well with it still. I'd love to see him there doing if he can get through to a certain level and stuff, I'd like to see him there make a little point still. It'd be good to say if he's still got it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just like maybe for me, I just see that as, you know, like you get them boxers and...
You know, they've had one fight
too many and they're coming back for another one. I think that, you know, especially at that age, again, this is just my opinion, that should stick to the Masters and them exhibitions and stuff like that. But, you know, these qualifying rounds, the further you get, obviously, you get a payday. So, you know, and, you know, to be fair, if that's what he loves and is truly doing it for that, well, in fact, whatever reason he's doing for it, yeah. You know what I mean? You wouldn't wish him no kind of no badness and that upon him, you know? But, yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of feel for them guys. You know, you've got Jimmy White trying to go through the rounds and stuff, and then you've got at the top end, you've got O'Sullivan, Rocket Ronnie, who's you know, fighting with his demons and stuff, and Brooking Quanti.
You've got younger players coming up that are feisty now as well. Obviously, like it says here, his age is going to be a factor, but he remains a popular figure in sports and has presence of events like the World Snooker Championship. And I mean, he hasn't even done much broadcasting or anything, has he?
Mm.
Really, he's been since he's come off that scene. We haven't really seen or heard of him, and then all of a sudden, here he is again.
Mm.
Whether he can take the pressure and stuff. I mean, that's what Ronnie struggles with, like you just said.
Yeah, 100%, you know. Yeah, I mean, it must be a bad thing. I mean, you know, Rocket said, you know, he'd love to be able to go there and play, be able to have confidence, to be able to get his cue out and play some really good snooker, you know. He needs to give himself time. You know, he needs to kind of like... make sure it's the right decision, what he wants to do. You know, regarding the World Championships, which regarding is the toughest test. Like I said, it begins in April. So, I mean, will we see Rocket? Will he put up his hand and say, yep, I'm in? Or You know, is he going to sort of like sadly miss this one out?
Well, if he doesn't feel he's on form, he's not going to show up. If he don't think he's on form, he's not going to show up. If he don't think he's got a chance of putting in a good show, he's not going to show up. It's as simple as that.
Mm. We'll see what happens with that one. On to the waterways. This weekend sees the boat race between Oxford and Cambridge.
You know, I always watch that, me, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, I've been watching that thing. I've even got it in my phone. They might sound sad, but I'm not lying to you, Jed. Listen to me.
Let's just rewind. Rewind that.
Rewind. You just said that for true, G. Yes, me said that for true. I've always liked the Oxford and Cambridge race. Don't ask me why.
Chatting to the mic. Yeah.
Just don't ask me why.
Scene.
All I need to tell is there.
Every year
this thing comes up.
I've just witnessed that. Oh, you know what I mean?
They're like, if you sit on them armchair and watch these people, I run so you win. I don't know what it is. I just love the race. Seriously, I just love the race. What can I say? It's not just football or going over here, you know, people, trust me.
And for the women, it's the 79th boat race, and for the men, it's the 170th on the River Thames. 4.2 miles of boat racing annual event. The first one was back in 1829. It's the world's oldest famous amateur sporting event that you could see. I mean, Oxford have won it 81 times. Cambridge have won it 87. There's been one dead heat, believe it or not, back in 1877. And you know, just going back to that dead heat, I'd love to know how they kind of measured that, because they haven't got the technology what they've got in this day and age, what had back in 1877. So I don't know whether that was a bet or something like that. You know what I mean?
It's kind of hard, but don't say it was a dead heat, so it's a dead heat.
I can't see that back in 1877. You know what I mean?
Unless it were that close to call it, they said it was a dead heat, you know what I mean? But they have a man over there and a man over here looking. One man said no, this, that man said that, but it's hard. But nowadays, we know who comes to the 10th or minute of the second, we know who win.
In this day and age, yeah, definitely. But back then, I mean,
yeah, it's debatable. It's debatable.
The naked eye wouldn't really be able to.
But I saw them say.
Really, kind of deal with that. You know what I mean? So, I kind of like,
But yeah, I like to watch it. I like to watch the women's race first, and then I wait for the man race, and I sit and I watch that as well.
Mm.
I saw it go.
Yeah. And you know something else? You know they're talking about. You know, they kind of like the Thames, you know, there's kind of like, you know, Woolley Park, kind of like, there's high levels of being identified as sewage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On the Thames and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
You know, good luck to them kind of like people there.
As long as the boat don't turn over, it should be all right. And you know, splash too much, but. That's Water Authority's feeling it, and the government, they could have done something about this. They should have done something about it. I mean, look how long them things have been built. Mm. You know they need changing. Let's not patch up. Mm-hmm. When you patch up things, it just gets worse. It never gets better.
Yeah, it's so true that, you know what I mean? It's
but nobody like, know how to spend the money, but everybody had to take them bonus, you know? You understand?
Aye! Yeah, it's true.
Oh, you know it's like I mean? The film, isn't it? What was it called again? The one with Steven Seagal, the Rasta man, them. When the Rasta boy said, nobody know one did, but everybody want go heaven.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I had the truth, everybody want go heaven, but nobody know one did.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, different story that.
Yeah. So, yeah, like G said, let's hope say there's no kind of boat sinking. Because like the bacteria might just nyam them up, you know what I mean? But
just look at the water, the Thames though. Just look at the colour of it, man. You know, see that water there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Good luck to them kind of like people there anyway, with that, you know? yeah, a big tear up onto the boxing, jump into the boxing ring.
What?
Big tear up is happening in July. And again, this one, there's just something about this one between Cerrone and Taylor. You know, promises to be
about that 12, is going to be about
12 round bout, but there's issues with that one because Taylor was saying that, you know, she's the challenger. Why is she making all these kind of demands and stuff like that? She must sit in her corner. You know what I mean?
Well, but don't mind just Renault necking.
Well, Cerrone's corner saying that, you know, should be kind of like a 12 round kind of bout, you know, and Taylor apparently agreed to that. But, you know, Taylor saying, you know, it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean?
Well, what's she want?
You know? Well, she just wants like the 10, you know?
No, man, it's got to be 12.
Not necessarily, because, you know, I think it is scheduled for 10. I think it was just like an agreement, what they thought that they'd deal with, you know. Cerrone either wore a head guard when they had the face-off, do you know what I mean, with accusations of in the previous fight that Taylor kept deliberate headbutting.
She did.
So, in the kind of like, yeah, I agreed to that because I kind of like watched that as well.
I watched that, you know, and she used the head quite a lot.
Yeah, some kind of Bandoli tactics was going off there, you know. Taylor 38 will defend her undisputed light welterweight title in the much anticipated trilogy. Like I said, 11th of July, that is scheduled for at Madison Square Garden. The Irish woman narrowly won both previous contests. Most recently, on, you know, the one in November in Texas was a points decision, unanimous points decision, and the one before that.
No, she was robbed. Well, I did say that on the radio, didn't I? She was robbed. I saw that, and Toronto was clearly robbed of that. I mean, I'm a Taylor fan. I think she's good, whatever else. But lately, I've watched her, and there's a couple of matches she's had that she should have lost.
Yeah, because
period.
Mean, in the first fight between Taylor and Cerrone. Taylor, this was back in 2022, and she got the verdict of 97 to 93, 96 to 93, and 96 to 94. So a split decision for that one. And then the last one in November. This was the unanimous decision. All judges went for Taylor, 95 to 94. The results, significant debate on that one. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on for that one. I've also got something here. What Taylor actually was saying, I think both of them was having words.
The first one, Amanda, is, you know, you and Kaylee obviously have had historic fights at this point. I think everybody who's watched those fights feels at the end like, man, we would love to see more. It's also, you know, been something that you've cited as an impediment, you know, like, man, you know, we should be fighting 3 minute, 12 rounds. I asked recently Eddie Hearn why this fight wasn't going to be 12 three-minute rounds, and he said because Katie didn't want to give up undisputed. The WBC will not recognize her in this fight if that were to be the case. Do you respect that decision, or do you feel like she owes you those 12 three-minute rounds?
Listen, well, we shook on it, if you can roll the tapes. We shook on it. She didn't agree when we went to sign the contract. Listen, I believe I was undisputed champion, and I believe I wanted to fight 3 minutes, 12 rounds. I believe women can do it. We're capable of doing it, as you saw. And WBC said no, so I had to give up one of my babies. I worked hard for that belt. I work hard for all my belts. they decided they weren't going to go with it, so I had to give it up. I had to go with what I believed in, and I believed in the 12 threes. So if that's her choice, then that's her choice. But I believe wholly that women should get the recognition and the equality that the men get.
Thank you, Amanda.
I agree with that 100%.
It's an interesting one.
Second question for you, Amanda, is right along the lines of Ariel's. You know, obviously this is a big moment for you, but the fans are going to ask. So when you hear Alicia say, hey, you never know what could happen, does that rub you the wrong way in any way, or it's fair game? Hey, it's boxing.
Listen, this is boxing. Right now, I have Katie Taylor in front of me, one of the biggest fights in women's boxing. And, well, listen, I've been in this game for 16 long years. I'm enjoying it now. But I really like enjoying seeing the other women grow in the sport and make their money and make their path into greatness. So we'll see. Never know.
Thank you, Amanda.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, you know,
I mean, you know, it's
fight trilogy.
It's a simple decision for me. Whichever belt she said that they have a problem with her going with the 12th round, don't put that on the line. Leave that belt out of it. Is it 3-4 belts she got? Because she's undisputed, isn't she? So if it's a WBA belt, whatever she said that they have an issue with their policies about going 12 round, do not bring that belt into the match. Leave that belt out of it and fight for the rest. You can have a match with that belt at a later date. But I think it should be 12 rounds. I do agree with Ron, it should be 12 rounds.
I just think this is an amazing event, regardless. This is insane. Looking back at my whole career, this is the proudest moment of my whole career right now. Headline the show, an all-female card. Just thanks so much to MVP for this amazing opportunity. Not just an all-female card, but a top-quality all-female card. This is one of the best women's sporting events in history. And
listen, this is truly a great opportunity, not just for Katie and I, but for all these incredible women up here right now. This is a great opportunity for all of them to shine, and they're going to do that come Friday night, July 11th. This trilogy is granted because I feel like I won this fight. Clearly, I think the world, the millions of people who are watching on Netflix, the 70,000 plus in stadium, feel like I won this fight.
I'm uninterested in what Amanda says about the fight. I'm only interested in what the judges say about the fight. And I am 2-0 here.
Listen, that's understandable, but the world has eyes. They saw what they saw. It sucks that it takes three judges, three people who see something completely different, but millions of people saw it another way.
That's the truth.
How true is that?
That is the truth. Because I couldn't believe the results of that.
Yeah, I'm in that camp too. You know what I mean?
Like I was on about before when I saw boxing. The boxer I was on about was a woman called Delphine Parsons, Belgium fighter. She beat her twice as far as I'm concerned. The first time it was controversy about it. She took that. She came back the second time, and to me, she beat her again. This time, she walked out the ring when the thing was given. She shouldn't be the champion. Mm. Now, I've said before, when it comes to beating a champion, you have to put them down. You literally, nowadays, with the way the judging goes, you have to put them down. Just standing there boxing, no matter how much you box, and you beat up that person. Controversies to behind it, so you have to lick them down.
Yeah, it's true, you know, because like... There's just too much teething in the boxing.
Too much, man. Too much.
Do you know what I mean? You know, I mean, like Serrano says, you know, the whole nation saw that.
The whole world.
Apart from three.
Three judges.
You know what I mean? And they could ruin your life. You know what I mean? You've trained so hard for that. How much sacrifices you've done for that. You know, the training, they're kind of like... putting everything together, getting your team right, the diet, you know, the ins and outs, going through, you know, suffering and stuff, you know what I mean? For three people to say, nah, man, you know what I mean? You know, I think you lost that fight.
At the end of the day as well, I mean, to say the cut Serrano had around the high, she should have been disqualified. How she never got disqualified? Look how much time the referee warned her. Stop, use your head. But they still let her carry on.
Yeah.
So I hope this time I'm rooting for Serrano this time, and I hope so should pop out.
Yep.
Well, deal with our proper.
Yeah, let's hope so. That is the third time lucky. Wanna move on to Andy Cole. You know, I mean when they talk about the great
goal scorers in the Premier League or top end of the pitch, Cole's name very rarely gets mentioned. So we want to kind of big him up here on Sweet Talking Sport.
What did they talk about all these kind of strikers and when? Because none of them have done something that. Am I on a different planet or something?
Yeah. Then I got my respect.
Because the way you want to be talking about me is that I'm lucky.
That's all you hear, you know. People, they're lucky, you know. Not kind of like paying him the respects he needs.
January 7th, 2025. Newcastle are playing Arsenal. Alexander Isak bags a goal and a stat appears on screen. That was Isak's 50th goal for Newcastle, and he took him 86 games. But there was another name on that list, with 50 goals in just 50 games, 36 less than Isak, a strike rate that belongs to the elite of the football world, a strike rate that belongs to Andrew Cole.
I love scoring goals. I get a big buzz out of scoring goals.
When's the last time you heard Andy Cole mention the same breath as Shearer, Henry, Kane, or even today's stars like Haaland or Salah? How did a striker with 187 Premier League goals, the fourth highest of all time, become so overlooked? We're going to explore how one of the Premier League's greatest ever goal scorers became its most disrespected legend.
I mean, I'll play a little bit more of that, G, but what do you think? Why hasn't Cole got the kind of respect what he needs?
I've no idea. But come to mind, and as he was talking that, I was thinking of the runner as well, Linford Christie. Same, is it the same kind of thing as that?
Football has always been a game of opinions. But sometimes those opinions fail to align with reality. And no player embodies this quite like Andy Cole.
Even in this 2023 or whatever it is, you're still slightly getting disrespected. I see them trying to compare you with Nunez the other day.
Crazy. I said, nah, bro. Because I'm letting everybody know now.
Yeah?
It needs to stop.
The numbers don't lie.
Needs to stop, yes.
Highest goal scorer in Premier League history. But beyond the numbers, there lies a story of constant disrespect.
When he went to Newcastle, he frightened the fucking life out of everyone. He's still someone to this day that doesn't get the credit. When people talk to me about the top end of the Premier League, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Let's start by talking about penalties. Of Cole's 187 Premier League goals, just one came from the penalty spot. I repeat that, one. If we exclude penalties, Cole ranks as the second highest scorer in Premier League history. While Shearer, Kane and others boosted their tallies from 12 yards out, Cole earned his goals the harder way. Movement, positioning and clinical finishing in the box. 93 goals for Manchester United alone, without penalties. That's more non-penalty goals than Luis Suarez scored for Liverpool.
I mean, they're saying, I've kind of read on some kind of like platforms, because like Cole didn't really engage with the media back in them days. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, they kind of like dissed him to say, you know, if he's not really going to chat to us, then we can forget about him. That's kind of like wrong, you know what I mean? He was a great striker. And like they said, you know, he only took one from the penalty spot. You know what I mean? While you've got a lot of strikers who are bussing and popping records, like season after season, who are actually taking penalties and stuff. Do you know what I mean? You know? You know, I mean, what? He played for, Cole managed what? 15 caps for England. I mean, we know why kind of like a lot of black players got overlooked back in them days. We don't really need to go into that.
No, we don't need to touch that, you know, really, but still.
You know, but like, you know, it's kind of like he should get him mentioned, you know, which he hardly ever gets him mentioned. People need to stop disrespecting Cole and speak the truth, you know what I mean?
It's like you just said, though, isn't it? You just said it. It didn't engage with the media. Some people don't want to be up that publicity. Some people don't want to be part of that. They come to play the game, they do the job and they go home. Now, I would never have known that about Andy Cole. I knew he was a great player and I knew he could put the ball behind the net. But I never knew them stats about him. And why didn't we know them stats? Because he never got the publicity. Simple as that. If you're not a game player, and when I say game player, I'm talking with the media and such, they're not going to talk about you. They're not going to say this and whatever else. And then, of course, we don't want to mention it, but that is also another part of it, mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, he's achieved, we should be mentioning him. He's one of the best players the country's had in the Premier League and for England as well. Whatever. Look at Matt Golden, man, they said he scored. So who was at the top? Who's the top man?
Why? Well, it depends what kind of year talking, because like all have been popping records and stuff like that. But
well, before Sir Andy Cole time coming up, there's nobody. I mean, and since him, obviously, we're talking Sheeran that. But like my guy just said, if you take penalties out of it, who comes up? Well, we know it's not Sheeran. We know it's not Kane.
But I mean, Cole's name still should come up even with that.
That's right.
You know,
if he scored one of them goals from penalties and the rest of them are playing a match, then Shearer and Kane don't come into the equation, do they?
See it there. I mean, Cole believes that he hasn't received enough kind of like recognition throughout his career. Really.
Well, he hasn't.
You know, perceives of a lack of anticipation for his achievements. And also a history of negative comments from people such as like Glenn Hoddle. You know, he feels that his time with Manchester United and his overall goal record, including his masterclass in the Champions League, were not fully kind of like acknowledged by some people. Additionally, he's stated that some negative comments he received have impacted his public perception, you know, and also his career also as well. A lack of recognition. Hoddle's comments, this is what Hoddle said. Hoddle made a statement about Cole, needed too many chances before he scored, which he was criticised as unfair and damaging. You know what I mean?
And untrue.
Yeah, I mean, Hoddle...
I mean, how many goals did he score? How many chances has he had?
Hoddle was a match winner as well. He could do, you know, he could do some magic with the ball. You know,
we know
I mean?
That, but
you
still.
Hoddle could do some match. But I think, you know, it's a time when he kind of like Hoddle took over as the England manager. He was kind of outspoken, and that's probably one reason why his England managerial career came to an abrupt, because I think he quoted some kind of like negative kind of like vibes, really, you know what I mean, back in the days, you know. So yeah, you know, here at Sweet Talking Sport, we recognize you know, Andrew Cole.
There might be how many kids now saying, who's Andrew Cole,
you know. I don't want to go on to something now, because this probably involves captain also as well. I mean, you know, there's been enough kind of like evidence now over the seasons, which is the biggest club in Sheffield. You know what I mean? Is it Sheffield United? Is it Sheffield Wednesday? But this is an unbiased assessment. It might just take me a little while just to get there on this thing. Just kind of like bear with me.
In fact, while you look for that, back to the boxing. Oh, go on. We'll catch you.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep jumping up this, really. Guanji,
I was going to mention about Audley, is it, and the British Championship boxing for the other way. Have you heard a little controversy over that? Well, it was between that TVK, is it, and Audley is his name, two black guys. Basically, what had happened, we're having a match the other week, and the ref called break. Jamie braked, and the other one knocked him out after the break. So there's a controversy over that. Now, what the referee should have done was call time and give the other opponent time to recover, because he did call break. But what he did, he counted the man out. He counted him, let him stand up when he wasn't, whatever else, and he got knocked out. There was a big controversy over that. So for me, the referee made a man of his experience should not have made such a petty mistake. So of course now they've got to have a rematch on it, whatever else. The boxing board said no, they've got to have a rematch because that should never have happened. But I just throw that in the mix.
Yeah man, that's cool.
These refs been so inconsistent for Norwich. They've still regularly brought in those home crowds.
Coming in seventh place, we've got Sheffield Wednesday. They've had average gates this season of just over 26,500. I say this every single time about Sheffield Wednesday, but I can't help but think that their average gates would be considerably higher if they went ahead and dropped their ticket prices. It's absolutely extortionate how much some Sheffield Wednesday fans are paying to watch their club in the second tier. It's also worth stressing as well, Sheffield Wednesday have the second worst home record of any Championship club. Only Hull have picked up fewer points in home matches this season than Sheffield Wednesday have. So Wednesday fans haven't exactly got great value for money, but still a very consistent and vocal fan base that they've got behind them. Some of the best travelling fans in the Championship as well. Right now, judging off their recent history, that's been reflected by how many fans they've got at the moment. They're ranked as the fifth.
Just put that on the shelf. Sheffield Wednesday ranked seventh.
It is Sheffield United. They've had average gates of 20,100.
Hear that, captain?
In the second tier, and compared to
this is an assessment from a neutral. You know, Sheffield Wednesday, the seventh biggest club.
Battered in the Premier League every week.
And then Sheffield United voted fourth. And this is based on average attendance, yeah? So it's not about, you know, our ground's bigger than yours and this, that and the other, and our ground's modern and we've got more supporters than you. Do you know what I mean? This is strictly based on attendance. I mean, you know, if you wanted to throw the media stuff into the mix, you can do. I've looked at that before in the past, and people might say, yeah, it's just that because, like, United have spent, you know, in more recent time, modern day football time, in the Premiership. But, you know, just for the record again, you know, I'm not gloating, I'm just, you know, just preaching this one. Sheffield Wednesday voted the seventh biggest club in the EFL, and Sheffield United voted the fourth. So you don't need to be a mathematician to work that one out. What that, you know? And then, you know, sticking with Sheffield United, I was kind of like at the game against kind of like Millwall, and there was something that kind of like Wilder actually said about the referee, and I thought it was probably one of the worst referees I've ever seen down at the Lane.
Okay.
And I just want people to kind of just think, this is what Wilder said.
I heard that, what you said,
about
actually.
Sam Allison. Just taking some a little time to load, but it will eventually load.
25 years of the world's most iconic brand.
Not looking for excuses, but could you have had a penalty?
I wouldn't, 100%. I'm not a fan of the referee. I don't think I should get into trouble, by the way, on that one. I'm being honest, I wasn't a fan of him. Last season when he refereed us against Luton, when he was asking for Ross Barkley's shirt. Don't know whose shirt he was after today. But maybe the shirt on Anel's bag that got absolutely ripped to pieces. So I think especially when, you know, that situation that we had against Middlesbrough, you're looking for consistency. I always think he wants to be the star of the show. So I knew what was coming, so I'm not surprised.
That was Chris Wilder there, not having a dig at Sam Allison. He was the referee when United played Millwall on Tuesday night. And the amount of yellow cards, what didn't get dished out, what should have been, there should have at least been about five yellow cards in that game, because Millwall was using some body line tactics there. I think there was one eventually dished out by Allison, but the refereeing standards, you know, that, I mean, that, you know, top end at Championship, you know what I mean? They need better referees than that. And if Wilder were just saying what I'm saying right now, I'm sure there would have been a couple of fines going out for there. But I would like to know how he is still kind of managing at that level. And I would pity any kind of club who's got him as a referee. And, I mean, even his standards were non-league, and that's just being kind to the guy. Do you know what I mean? You know, and back in the days,
You know, I mean, yeah, he was a black guy who was refereeing this game, that Sam Allison. And back in the days, it would have been who's being the black. You know what I mean? That would have been churned out left, right, centre, and probably needed a police escort going home as well. But let's hope that, you know, we don't see or we don't have to use that referee again, even next season, no matter what league Sheffield United are in. And talking about the leagues...
What do you think to the match itself?
Well, to the self, well, you know, there was the intensity was there. They just couldn't finish it off in the final third. They just locked that bit of quality to stick the ball in the back of net. It's as simple as that. But
what, you know, third in the table, they've gone down to third in table now or something,
and come again. Yeah, the third in the table. I mean, there's a big game on this evening. And that is between Burnley and Norwich. They kick off at 8 p.m. Burnley are at home. High importance game. Norwich can sneak into the top six, not with a win tonight, but like if the results go their way. And then, you know, tomorrow, 12:30 kickoff. Leeds United at home to Preston. Preston, I believe, are on the beach, so it should be 3 points for Leeds. And then a massive game, Plymouth take on Sheffield United at home. Also another 12:30 kickoff. Players of Plymouth, they're probably on Wembley Beach, 23 miles away from the ground. Sheffield United have got a chance to right the wrongs right. 100% they need 3 points at this one. Or I think they can probably say maybe goodbye to an automatic promotion place.
I'd agree with that. If they don't win the next match, well, to be honest now, how many games are roughly left? 5 or 6?
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, they need to win a few five. Now, don't they? Need to do better now these last few games. Yeah, they need to...
Well, they need to put a ball in the back of the net, basically. Do you know what I mean? I mean, the out play has been... You know, like I said, the standard against Millwall was quite good. They pinged the ball around from start to finish. It was just the last third. Sometimes I think that they overplayed it, you know, when maybe they should have, you know, had a chance, believed in themselves and had a shot, yeah. Wednesday entertain Oxford United. On Saturday, both teams looking to see where they're going on their hulls next season. Basically, neither team have got anything to play for. United ended Sheffield Wednesday's chances of any playoffs when they stuck one on them at Hillsborough not so long ago. And then, you know, we've got Man City what take on Crystal Palace 6-11. Man City have lost one of their last 12 Premier League games against Palace. And Palace have failed to score. Palace don't seem to score a lot of goals against Man City. And I'm saying that they probably won't get any again on Saturday. And they also kick off at 12:30. And I suppose CV will be getting his skates on to get down there as well.
Mm.
So, I mean, G... it's nice to have your kind of your company once again, and hopefully CV will be back in the seat next week too.
We shall see. We shall see.
Yeah. So yeah. You know, take it easy, folks. We're out of here.
Guidance, people.
The feet that were tread carefully now, as gentle a measure as age to allow. Through groves of white blossom and fields of young corn, where once she was pledged to her true the fields, they are empty, the hedges grow free, no young man to tend them, or pasture goes see. from the green farmlands and from the
great king was born in a wild, different, much to the spring.